look not behind thee, neither stay thou in that plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Skip down to verse 24. Verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Hey, where did Lot go wrong? Let's look at that here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are just so grateful to be here again in your house. And Lord, I do need you. I pray, Lord, that you'd use me here today. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, give me clarity of thought. Give me your wisdom. And just give me your word to speak here tonight, Lord, we pray. And give you all the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Lot, he had every opportunity to not only know the Lord, but to serve the Lord and to worship the Lord and to know the Lord and to live for Him. Lot was taken in by Abraham when Abraham trusted God and began his journey of faith. But Lot obviously didn't pay attention to the testimony and the witness of his uncle Abraham. He was given the first choice of land by Abraham, but he chose foolishly and settled close to Sodom. We see in the Bible that Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked upon Sodom at the rich, fertile valley of the Jordan. And so Lot decided to pitch his tent towards Sodom. He didn't go in Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the next thing we see in Genesis chapter 14 is that he had moved in to the city. Lot is seen sitting at the gate of Sodom, which meant that he was most likely some city official. He was a well-known person. He was a recognized person there in Sodom. And war broke out at one point, and he was rescued by Abraham when he was taken captive from the invading army of the kings of the east. But instead of returning with Abraham, he chose to go back into Sodom. Lot loved Sodom. Lot loved Sodom. He loved the world. He coveted the cities, the bright lights, the fame, the wealth, the pleasure, right, the sin. There's nothing really good said about Lot in the Bible. Nothing really good said about him at all. The only thing that we know about Lot really is that he was a very carnal Christian. Right? He's a very carnal Christian. 2 Peter 2:7 says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with his filthy conversation of the wicked." It's hard to believe that Lot was a Christian. Lot was a saved man. Lot was he was just Lot. He was saved. That is the only way we know him to be a saved man right there. Now I want you to think about this. There's three different types of people in the world. Okay? There are the natural man, there's the spiritual man, and there's the carnal man. Right? The spiritual man is one who compares spiritual with spiritual. This ought to be the goal of every child of God. But I want you to know that being spiritual is not a look. Okay, it is more than a changing of our attitude or a changing of our behavior. You see, many people walk around looking spiritual, talking like they're spiritual, when they're not spiritual at all. You see, true spirituality is like humility. If you think you have it, you probably do not. And the second man is the natural man. This is the man who has never been born again. This is the man that is not waiting to be condemned. Jesus Christ Himself has said that this man is already condemned in John 3:18. He is already condemned. The natural man is just one heartbeat away from the flames of eternal torment and eternal hell forever and ever. Then you have a third man. He is the carnal man. This man looks, talks, and acts like the natural man, but he has made a profession of faith. But you would not know it. You would not know that he's actually saved. That's where Lot comes into play. Lot was a very carnal man. So let's just look at this here as we ask the question, where did Lot go wrong? Number one, I want you to see here that Lot loved the world. Where did Lot go wrong? Well, Lot loved the world. If you would, turn over to Genesis chapter 13. In Genesis chapter 13, we're going to see here, and starting in verse number 10, in Genesis chapter 13, starting in verse number 10, the Bible says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Hey, Lot loved the world. He was given a choice. Abraham said, "Hey, where do you want to go? You go one way, I'll go the other." He's given him a choice, and whatever decision you make, I will go the other way. But Lot looked at the plains. He looked and he saw how beautiful they looked and how good they looked and how well watered they looked. And Lot was deceived by the lust of his eyes. He was deceived by the bright lights, the big city. He was deceived by what looked good. Right? This is the beginning of his destruction. The decision that he made right there altered his life forever. It altered his kids' life, his family's life forever. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He didn't jump in right away. He didn't move into the city right away. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he began to look upon all the sin that was going on there. Everything that was partaken there, he looked there. But eventually, the next thing we read about him in Genesis chapter 14, if you look at that, in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 12, and it says, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom." Right? He dwelt in Sodom. So now we know he's living in Sodom. First, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now he couldn't hang around, he couldn't stay away from Sodom. All the good stuff, all the sin, all that fun, all the things of the world going on there, he decides he's going to move into Sodom. And now he's in Sodom. Hey, war had broken out here, and Lot was actually taken captive with all of his riches. And so Uncle Abraham has to come to his rescue again. So Abraham takes some of his mighty men, and they go out, and they defeat the armies, and they rescue Lot and get all of his riches back. And they bring Lot back, and nothing changed. Nothing changed. Lot didn't go back with his uncle and said, "Hey, you know, I'm not going back to that place. That place is wicked. That place is bad. I'm not going back to that place." No. He got rescued and went right back at it. He continued putting money first. He continued putting business first. He continued to put his love for the world first. Now, I know all of us, we seek things in life, right? We seek things, right? There's things we need to have in life in order to survive. Get it? Right? But there's also things that we are willing to go after no matter the cost. But remember, the pursuit of things has potential for great danger. Okay? In Proverbs 23:4, the Bible says, "Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom." Verse 5 says, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven." Hey, all riches, all wealth, all fame is only temporary. Right? We're going to see here that Lot loved the world so much, but in the end, Lot is going to lose it all. And we can go through the line, and you can look up people who were millionaires, who were maybe movie stars, who you would look at their life and you would say they have everything. And many of them go and they do drugs and they die of drugs, or they commit suicide, right? Their love of the world, their love of the things of this world has blinded them from the truth of God, of knowing who God is, of the truth of salvation. They become so entangled with the wars of this world and the things of this world, and next thing you know, it's defeated them. In 1 Timothy 6:9, the Bible says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Hey, there was a deadly progression that we could pick Lot's life apart, and we can see a progression of sin. And let me show you here. If you turn over to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, look at verse number 1 there. I'll show you here quickly a progression of sin. in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1 will lay it out for us. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Right? So it's progression of sin. Where does it start? Start walking in the counsel of unsaved people. You see, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. The next thing you know, he's in Sodom. Okay, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, continue on. It says, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." Right? So we can stand with sinners. We can hang out with sinners. We can keep company with sinners. Right? Kind of like this morning, not being separated from the world. Continue to love the world. He says, "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Hey, we can walk in the counsel of unsaved people. We cannot be separated from the world. We can sit down in the seats of the scornful, the scoffer, just kind of like with Lot. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Eventually, he moved into Sodom. And eventually, Sodom moved into him. Right? We can look at David. And David, with Bathsheba, David should have been off at war. We know that. He should not have been in the palace. He should not have been at the king's house. He should have been off fighting in battle, off fighting in war. And he was lingering. He was being lazy. He was lounging around his house with nothing to do. And he goes and he looks out the window, and behold, there's this beautiful woman named Bathsheba as she bathes. So David looked upon Bathsheba. And then what did he do? He sent for her. Right? He sent for her. He seduced her, and that led to murdering her husband. Right? Sin, there's a progression of sin here, and it all started here with Lot's love of the world. Lot's love of the world. We're not to want the world. We're not to desire the world. We're not to love the world. And 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We have those warnings all throughout Scripture. Verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father." It's not of God. All right, we've got to get that. It's not holy. It's not of God. It's of the world. Right? Who is the king of this world? The prince of this world is the devil. Is the devil. He rules this world, and his time is running out, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy this church. And whatever he can, he will use you to get to me, to get to the church, to get this church destroyed. He wants to destroy you, your children, your family. And hey, are you going to let him? Are we going to have a line of separation? Are we going to have a reasonable service to just, hey, here's my life, Lord. What do you want me to do? Right? Love not the world. Lot loved the world. He compromised his righteous soul with God for the sake of wealth and fame. Now, some people, even worldly-minded Christians, will do anything to make a buck. But the Bible says that we can't love the world, we can't love money and love God at the same time. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." You see, idolatry is image worship. Worshipping money is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Right? We're saying that money is the god of people that are guilty of greed. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that those that put money first or job first or business first are on their way to ruin. And that's not me. That's the Bible. Right? That's the Bible. If you would, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. All right. Again, there's got to be a separation. Okay? There's a separation. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, look there at verse number 10. Lot loved the world. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10, the Bible says, "For the love of money. All right, get that. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil, but it's that love for it. Okay? The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Right? It's that love of the money. That's that drive. That's that I'm going to do whatever it takes to make that dollar. I'm going to do whatever it takes if it means not coming to church, if it means not fellowshipping, if it means not doing right. Right? You ever been asked to do something not right at work? What do? Do you stand for right? Or do you give in because it's your job? Well, it's my job. I got to do it. Right? Or do you stand for right? Right? Separation. Okay? Here's the truth. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hey, a person has to live, don't I? I got to live, don't I? But here's the thing. A person has to die, too. We all have to die. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed on the man once to die, but after this, what? The judgment. Right? The judgment awaits every person. The judgment is coming for everybody. So what do? We just trust the Lord. Or we just trust the Lord. We put our faith in Him. We trust in Him. The Bible tells us over and over again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, yeah, we have to live. We have to make a living, right? But trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. He is going to provide. In Psalm 37:25, Bible says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hey, does God not provide? Does not God always provide? Hey, He might not be giving us this big old house and these fancy cars and everything we want, but does not God always provide? He provides what we need. He takes care of us. In Luke 12:28, the Bible says, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you? And then He says, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. Where is your faith? Think about that for a minute. Where is your faith? What is your faith in? Right? If you're here today and you don't know you're going to heaven, you need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But where's your faith? Right? Faith in the cross of Calvary. Faith that Jesus paid it all on the cross. Faith that He died and was buried and rose again. None of you were there. None of us was there. I wasn't there. You weren't there. We didn't see it with our eyes. It all comes down to faith. Where is your faith? Have you received Jesus Christ by faith? Knowing you're going to heaven by faith, you say, yes, amen, I am. Well, praise the Lord, but now where is your faith? Do you have living faith? Are you living for the Lord? Right? Where is your faith in that? See, if we could just put God first in everything, give Jesus Christ preeminence in everything, He will take care of us. He will provide. He will take care of us. And that's all that matters. He will take care of us. You see, Lot lost out on God's best for him. Why? Because Lot loved the world. He loved the world, and there was definitely no separation with him. Let me give you another one here. Lot called the wicked his brethren. He called the wicked his brethren. If you turn back over to Genesis chapter 13, look at verse 13. Lot not only loved the world, but he associated with the wicked as brethren. He called them brethren, called them brothers. Genesis 13, verse number 13. Bible says in Genesis 13:13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Right? We know that. We read that, right? Sodom was full of wickedness. It was full of sinners. But as soon as Lot saw that, as soon as Lot realized that there were wicked and sinful people there, he should have left. He should have left. He should have got out of there. That should have made Lot leave. He should have made like Joseph and ran. He should have just got out of town. Separation, right? There has to be a separation. Lot had made his home with the wicked, and in doing so, he became one of them. Right? When Lot looked over at the plains and saw how beautiful they were, and when Lot pitched his tent, right, he didn't have any desire, or he had no thought in his mind that before long he would be amongst them and that he would be one of the wicked. Right? That wasn't what was on his mind. But Lot made his home there. And look, here's my point. Don't choose God's will just by looking. Right? Don't choose God's will for your life just by looking. Right? It might look good. That new job, it might look good. Right? It might look good to move somewhere and have this new job, and you're like, is there a church there? Well, no, there's no good church around there. Well, maybe it's not God's will for you to take that job then. Right? Right? Hey, don't choose just by looking. Just because you think it looks good doesn't mean that it's good. Remember, Genesis chapter 3 is the fall of man. The devil comes and tempts Eve, and they're not allowed to eat off the fruit of the one tree. They can eat off any tree, but don't eat off of this one tree, God said. And the devil came and tempted Eve and said, and she said, no, we can't eat it, we'll die. And the devil says what? Yea, hath God said, thou shalt not surely die. Right? And so this is what she said in Genesis 3 and verse 6. She said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, right? She saw it look good, right? The fruit looks great. It looks good. It looks like it's something I could eat. Hey, I should eat that fruit. It looks good. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat also. Hey, look, from that moment on, Eve ate of that fruit, disobeyed God. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of that, because that fruit looked good, you and I have to die because of that fruit looking so good that they ate. Right? I bet you when she looked at that fruit, she didn't think about that. I bet you she didn't think about being separated from God, having to leave the beautiful garden. I'll bet you she didn't think about her son getting murdered not long after that. I bet you she didn't think about that, did she? Hey, have you ever gone out after a storm? Maybe you've had a big tree come down in your yard, or maybe you've seen a tree come down, maybe a big oak tree, right? You look at that tree and you think, man, that is such a big tree, right? Big trunk, a big tree, it's a strong tree. How could that tree have ever fallen? And you get closer to that tree and you notice the inside of that tree is all rotten. The heart of that tree is rotten to the core. Now, you couldn't see that before, right? That tree was up and it looked strong, right? Looked like it had strong roots, and you couldn't see it, but if you could do an x-ray on that tree, it would have shown that the rottenness of the core, the rottenness of the heart. Hey, listen, that storm did not cause the rottenness. All the storm did was reveal the rottenness inside. Okay, listen, God will send a trial upon us. God will send a storm in our life, and He will test us. He will send a test into our life to reveal your heart, to reveal our character. And listen, whatever choice we make, it's going to be God's way of revealing to you and to me our heart. Our heart. What does our heart look like? What does our heart look like? In Genesis chapter 19, I want you to look over there at verses 6 and 7. Back over in Genesis 19. We would say that Lot would have had a rotten heart. Lot would have had a rotten heart because of the things that I'm going to show you that he did here. First, in verse number 6, in Genesis 19, verse 6, it says, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Hey, Lot realized that this was a wicked society, right? But it was too late. He was too far in it. It was too late for him to save his family at this point. You say, why couldn't he leave? Why didn't he leave? He already had roots there. He had gone in. He pitched his tent at Sodom. Next thing you know, he's in Sodom. Next thing you know, he's a businessman in Sodom. He has roots planted. hey, there's some decisions that you make that you can't reverse. You cannot change them. And Lot went outside to meet these wicked men, and he called them brethren. Brethren, they were his buddies. They were his brethren. He knew these people. They were his day-to-day of maybe business dealings, his acquaintance, his neighbors, his associates. But these people he had lived with day after day. He had rubbed shoulders with them, right? And in their minds, Lot was just one of them. It wasn't just Lot. Lot was one of them, one of the wicked, right? He loved the world, the things of the world. And no doubt they would have expected Lot to just grant their wish there. If you look there in verse number 8, it says, "Behold now," and we got to get this. This is where it gets crazy. He says in verse 8, "Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Hey, I don't have daughters, but hey, you're not getting my kids. Right? I'm not going to give you my kids. Right? And Lot just willingly gives up his kids here, his daughters. Right? In verse 9, and it says, "And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." I mean, here these wicked men are trying to get in to get to these men that have come in, and these angels, these men, and so they're brought out so they could have a relationship with them. Hey, Lot does the most unimaginable thing. He offers up his daughters. I cannot believe that. It's unimaginable, right? As I mentioned earlier, it's hard to believe that Lot was a just man, that he was a saved man. But what happened? What happened to Lot? He had become so much a part of Sodom. He had made so many wrong decisions that he lost his ability to make any right decisions. You get that? His mind was warped and twisted because of sin. Because of the love of his world had warped his mind. I mean, this isn't something anybody in their rational mind could do, right? He offers to give his two daughters in exchange for the guests. My point is this: sin will destroy your mind. Think about this. Sin will destroy you. But think about this. Within your seat, where you are sitting today, there are three people in your seat. There are three people in your seat. There is the person that you are today. The person you are today, whoever that is. But then there is that person that you could be for God. There is that person that you could be that would be totally sold out to God, that would totally talk about separation, consecration, totally sold out for the Lord. What are you going to do for the Lord? That's that other person. But then that third person is that person that you could be for the devil. That person that you could be for evil. That person that you could be for bad. And we have the choice. Which one is it going to be? Which one is it going to be? You see, Lot didn't think about the wickedness of Sodom when he was overlooking the plains, when he was looking at the Jordan. He thought it was a great place. He thought it was a beautiful place. He went there because it looked good. Remember, what influenced Eve to eat of the fruit? It looked good. It looked good. The lust of the eyes brings doom. It'll bring doom. Look, I'm talking to me. I'm talking to the deacons. I'm talking to the ushers. I'm talking to the church members. I'm talking to the visitor. I'm talking to everybody here. If you take your eyes off of Jesus, only for a moment, if you take your eyes off of Jesus, there's no limit on the evil that you could do. There's no limit to the evil that you could do if you don't have your eyes focused on the Lord. Look, David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord. But look what happened to him. He looked, he saw, he took, right? All those things. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Take heed lest he fall. I got to give you another one here. Thirdly, Lot lingered in Sodom. Right? Lot loved the world. He lingered here in Sodom. We'll look here in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16. Genesis 19:16. It said, "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." Hey, the very thought of them leaving was not appealing to them. They did not want to leave the city. They did not want to leave behind everything that they've worked for. They loved Sodom. They loved their house. They loved their business. They loved their... I mean, think about it. They're leaving family behind as well. Daughters and sons-in-laws and family, right? But Lot's love for the world and the things for the world made it very difficult to turn their back on it. But you see, there's this man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was a faithful man. Abraham was a praying man. And he was constantly praying for Lot. Look there at verse 29 in Genesis 19, verse 29. It says, "And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overflow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwells." Hey, look, Lot lingered in the city. He lingered in his Bible reading. Hey, do we read our Bible every day? Lot lingered in his Bible reading. Got to have daily Bible reading. Lot lingered in his prayer life. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." What is our prayer life like? Are our prayers being answered? Are they being heard? Are they being answered? Lot lingered in his prayer life. He lingered in his church attendance. Right? He was not faithful man to the Lord. And you know what else Lot lingered in? He lingered in his soul winning. He lingered in his witnessing. He lingered in the example that he was of the Lord. Nobody recognized Lot as a saved man, as a Christian. You realize, if Lot would have won his family, God said he would not have destroyed Sodom. If there were 10 righteous in the city, God would have spared the city. All Lot had to do was win his sons-in-laws and his daughters, his wife, his family. That's all he had to do was win his family, right? But he didn't do that. Lot lingered. And fourthly here, I want you to see that Lot married a worldly woman. Lot married a worldly woman. Verses 16 and 17. I just read verse 16. It says, "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city." Verse 17. "And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Right? Lot chose a woman from Sodom. Lot's wife was not the right wife for Lot, because Lot was a saved man and he should have been looking for a saved woman. A saved person should not consider an unsaved person as his spouse. Right? The children had no godly influence from either parent. Right? The children had no godly influence. You see, a godly mother would have made a difference in the home. A godly mother would have made a difference in the home. And here we have the angel is telling Lot and his family to get out, to flee, because they're going to destroy the city. They say, "Take your wife and your two daughters and go." Listen, all she had to do was follow her husband. Right? Submit to your husband. Follow your husband. Just be obedient. Be submissive. But she was not obedient. She was not submissive. We know she's going to look back here in just a minute. But as sorry as Lot was, as weak of a Christian as Lot was, and as sorry of a person that he was, the promise is there. All she had to do was follow him, and she would have made it to safety. She would have made it to safety. Here's my point. God will bless a home where the father is the leader, and he is leading the family in God's will, in God's purpose, in God's truth of God's word. God will bless that. You see, Lot's wife loved Sodom. She didn't love God's Word, right? And the comfortable life that was being left behind was not an easy task. She did not want to leave it behind. She was feeling the pain of leaving. And there in verse 26, look at that. She turns back and is turned into a pillar of salt. And verse 26 says, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Right? She looked back. She disobeyed the command. The command was simply, do not look back. She looked back. Again, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep going forward, moving forward. When we look back at things that we want or things that we miss or things we think we need or things that we desire, we can turn into a pillar of salt. Not literally, right? But we can turn into something of no value for the Lord because we're constantly looking back. Right? We're to be looking forward, right? Looking forward. Hey, wives, be sure that you follow your husband in the Lord. Lot was taking her with him and their two unmarried daughters, and all she had to do was keep following her husband. They loved their home. They loved their possession. They trusted the world, and now the world was gone. Their world was gone. It was gone up in fire and brimstone. Here's my point. Lot lived a wasted life. Would you agree with me? Lot lived a wasted life, and here's the reality of it. So much of Christianity today is living a wasted life. We're living a wasted life. We are not fully in it with the Lord. Hey, most of Christianity, our lives are spent, you know, we get up in the morning, we go to work, we come home at night, we eat supper, we go to bed, we get up the next morning, and we eat breakfast, and we go to work, and we do it again, and we do it again, and we make plans to go about our lives for our own good. We make decisions for our own desires, right? We follow our own will. We follow our own plans. And eventually, we do that over and over throughout our lifetime, and eventually, the day comes when we die. We take our last breath, and we go to the grave having never done anything for the Lord. Having never done anything to accomplish anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for us, we end up doing nothing for Him. That's what Lot did. That's what Lot did. That's the kind of life Lot did. This is an example in the Word of God so we can learn from it. So we don't have to live that kind of lifestyle. So what do I do? Hey, why don't we just start letting the Bible be our guide? Letting the Bible dictate how we live our lives. Thus saith the Lord. What does the Bible say? Right? Not does what the preacher says or what the Fox News says or even what some other man says, but what does God say? What does God say? And just decide, no matter what it is, hey, I might not understand it. There's some things I don't understand about that. But God said it. Let me dig into it. Let me study it. Let me ask my pastor. Right? Let me dig into it. Let me understand it more so I can totally understand it and make sure I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. Just get in the Bible, get in His Word, and let's just decide the Bible is going to dictate and direct my life. And whatever the Bible says to do, that's what I'm going to do. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So there was this captain of a ship. He was out on a foggy night, and it was some distance away. He saw some faint light signal in his direction, and he ordered one of the signalmen to send a message. He says, "Alter your course 10 degrees south." A reply came back, "Alter your course 10 degrees north." The captain was enraged, and his command had been ignored, and he sent a second message. "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a captain." A moment passed and a message returned. "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones." The captain was furious. He could not believe what he had received. He sent a third message. "Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship." Very quickly, the reply came back. "Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am the lighthouse. I am the lighthouse." Hey, listen. Don't waste time trying to tell God to alter His course. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money trying to get God to alter His course. He's not going to alter His course. His Word does not change. His Word is true today as it ever was. And if you try to get God to alter His course in your life, you will spend the rest of your life following a path like Lot that leads to destruction, that leads to disappointment, that leads to discouragement, that leads to failure. Truth does not change. The lighthouse will stand forever. Forever. So do you know you're saved here today? You know you're going to heaven. Amen. You're a Christian, you're saved, you're going to heaven. But are you living for Him? Are you living for Him? Are you living for Him? I'm close on this. If you turn over to Romans chapter 8, this was my last point from this morning that I didn't get to finish, but my last point from this morning was that we need to be living in victory. We don't need to be living in defeat. We need to be living in victory. Regardless, we should be living in victory. And in Romans chapter 8, I'll look there at verse 37. Romans 8:37. The Bible says there in Romans 8:37, it says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hey, if you're saved today and you're going to heaven, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate us in life or death or angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come. Nothing. Nothing. Right? That is the victory. The victory is there. But if you've not been born again, you need to claim that victory in the Lord Jesus Christ before anything else, before it's too late. Hey, Lot was a just man. He was a just man, but he lived a wasted life. So my advice to you is don't live a wasted life. Let's pray.